Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 754. Where I simply read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source. Pardon me, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And or the Matthew Henry commentary. This podcast, dear friends, is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book and the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So the aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and prayer and taking heed to God's Word, following it, obeying it, it is my humble prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and that they would be saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell that Jesus Christ talked about more than any other prophet or preacher in the Bible. For Jesus Christ said the most loving, most beautiful, most wonderful words in the history of the world known to mankind when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And dear friend, I have a question for you. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving sense? I know that you believe he existed. I know that you believe he is a great man. I know that you're familiar with at least Christmas and Easter. But do you know him personally as your Lord and Savior? For that makes all the difference in the world. If you don't know him, get to know him today. The truth of the matter is, in every way, it is a life or death situation. And in order to know him, you need to understand first that you need to accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. And so have I, and so has the Pope. and so has the Dalai Lama, and so has Joel Osteen. Whoever is your spiritual guru, whoever is your spiritual hero, they're sinners, and so am I. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God Almighty. We all have displeased God with our wicked, evil, and ungodly sins and behavior, thoughts, words, and deeds, such as lying, dishonesty, stealing, coveting, and lusting after people and things that don't belong to us. Dishonoring our parents, disobeying our parents, dishonoring God by taking His holy name in vain, by lying on Him and trying to prove that you're telling the truth by using His holy name, cursing while using His holy name, and even saying things like, "Gosh darn it," and things like that. You're really using God's name in vain because you're trying to use His name without using His name, and using some made-up thing that somebody said. Have you ever sinned against God? I just named 5 of the 10 commandments. And I would venture to say you broke all of them. You've broken all of them. Maybe not all of the next 5. I hope not. But even there, you may have already broken those and committed other ungodly sins in ways. We all have sinned against God. And because of our sin, we die, which is a major punishment, by the way. Don't poo-poo on death. Death is a very serious matter, my dear friend. It is still the most frightening thing on earth. Maybe not for the old saint in Christ, not so much. For the Christian who's been saved, who is saved, the Bible says, absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. So we're good. But if you're not sure of your salvation, it is the most frightening thing on earth to die. And it is a punishment. And you will suffer it. Because of our sinful nature and our arrogancy and our pride, we somehow think we're going to live on forever on this earth, and that's not the case at all. You're going to die for your sins. I'm going to die for my sins. That's why we die, by the way. We die because of sin, not because of cancer, not because of the coronavirus. But I heard about a couple today that they died together from the coronavirus. They held hands and died together. The coronavirus may be the means that will take you out, but the reason why you're dying is because of your sin. And once you die, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And for the person who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving sense, with a mind and a heart to repent of their sins, will go to hell. In fact, as soon as you die, you will lift up your eyes in hell, in the torments of hell. You say, "Preacher, there's no need to try to scare me." I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. That's all I can do. That's all He called me to do. is to preach what he said, not what I'm saying. You see, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible, and he preached more on hell more than most preachers preaching today. I said most. Some preachers have never preached on hell in their lives. You know why? Because they want to sugarcoat it for you and make you think that the Christian life is all wonderful and sweet and dandy, and it is not. I'm not going to tell you that lie. You're going to have trouble, but you'll have peace and joy at the same time in this life. Jesus Christ told the truth to you and to me before he left the earth. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Tribulation means trouble and tension and trials and temptations and pain and hurt and everything else. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ, in describing hell one day, said that hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Believe it. In another place, Jesus Christ talked about and described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And then one time he preached a sermon in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. And so therefore you need to accept the fact that you're on the road to hell, because he preached on hell, my dear friend. And you're on that road. If you have never believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in a saving sense, not a historical sense, but to save your soul sense from hell. Because ultimately, I don't care what preachers tell you about how God is going to bless you with a new car, God is going to bless you with a new house, God's going to bless you with a new wife, God's going to bless you with a new husband, God's going to bless you with 2.5 children and all that foolishness. I can't promise you that, and I'm not going to promise you those things. That's why so many people are disillusioned by preachers and churches today. Ultimately, dear friend, you're getting saved from hell. You're getting saved from hell when you believe in Christ. So do that. Matthew 18:8, Jesus Christ said, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Now, he could have said everlasting hell. He could have said everlasting punishment. He said everlasting fire. And almost every time he preached on hell, he used the word fire. He wants you to know it is a place of pain. It is a place of torment. That you're not. This is not a place to take a vacation. This is the literal burning hell. That's how bad sin is. Now let me show you another way that you can see how bad sin is. Look at the cross of Christ. He was bleeding from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His body was opened up by the cat and nine tail that would come across his torso and rip open his body. His innards were showing for you and for me. See, that's how bad sin is. Look at what Jesus went through for us, being the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. You've seen the Passion movie. It was worse than that. It was worse than that. He suffered, bled, and died for our sins. He paid our sin debt, and that's what it cost him. It cost him great humiliation, naked before the world, mocked, like he was the greatest criminal in the history of the world. And he never did anything wrong. He took on our crimes, our sins, our lying, our murder, our adultery, our fornication, our hypocrisy. He took all of that on. That's the picture you need to have in mind when you think about the cost of sin. And then if that does not help you, think about the cost of sin in hell forever, see, because you must understand that when you go to hell, that's it. You're not going to be annihilated. You will suffer there for the rest of your existence. That's why Jesus said everlasting fire, not temporary fire, not a fire for one day or for 1 minute, then you just poof, you're gone. No, you're going to suffer there forever. That's why Jesus preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. Because hell is serious. Hell is for real. Hell is sad. Hell is bad. And hell is bad news, my dear friend. And you can enter into hell at any time today, because we're all on death row. Both of you. We're all on death row. We just don't know when we're going to die. But we will die. And we will die for our crimes against God, our crimes against mankind. We're going to die for our sins. We're on death row. We will be executed, if you will, when death comes, when the grim reaper comes. When he comes and knock on your door, by the way, you can't say, I'm not ready. When the grim reaper comes, he's going to be there. You can try to escape out the window. You can try to escape out the back door. He's at every entrance and exit. When it's time, when it's your day, you had a birthday, you were born on that birthday. You have a death day. And when it's time for you to go, the grim reaper is going to take you. So, and that could be today. Because I'm talking to people right now who are on their sick bed at home. I'm talking to people right now who are on their deathbed in the hospital. One lady in the Washington Post said, don't worry about it, stay put. One lady in the Washington Post said she had to say bye to her sister over a computer screen. Folks, thousands will die today. You could be one. The question is, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? And so I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and taking heed to the most loving words ever spoken in the history of the world to humankind. When Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice how simple it is to get saved from hell. It was not simple and easy for God and Jesus. But they, in love, made it simple and easy for us. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said, whosoever. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. The next word he said was, believeth in him. Believeth in Jesus. He was talking about himself. Believeth in him. In other words, believe in me. The word believe means to trust, to depend upon, to rely on, to have faith in. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. And notice what happens. Instantaneously, your destination changes. As soon as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your destination is changed from the pits of hell, perishing in hell, to heaven. But and you should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt by suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose on the third day. He went through hell and to hell for you and me, so that we can believe in him very easily and go to heaven because of what he did, not by any works of righteousness that we did. Notice that Jesus Christ did not say you need to work for me in the church a certain number of years to be saved. He didn't say you need to get baptized to get saved. He didn't say you need to pay any money to get saved. He just simply said, believe in me, and you will be saved from hell and saved to heaven. So, dear friend, make that choice right now, wherever you might be. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. Let's pray. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. A few words here, a few words there. I'll wait on you. And mean it from your heart. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus, the angels, and the people of God, the beloved family. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit and I confess that I've sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my offensive sins, all of my sins that I have committed against you. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil life and my evil ways, to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died, suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book free of charge. It's a free download titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to resume the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, already in progress, if you will allow me to say that. I love saying it. At the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, at the point of the Scripture in the Sense podcast, our scripture passage for today is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Holy Father God, by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, give us deep understanding of your holy word. Have it to find a lodging place in our hearts and minds, souls and spirits. Help us to believe it and help us to apply it to our lives and to obey the truths that you have contained in it. And Lord, help us to preach your holy gospel based upon your holy word about Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. And dear friends, I just read in your hearing Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Now here is the sense of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Zephaniah predicted that the nations will be renewed both morally and spiritually. The purifying of the lips of the peoples does not mean they will speak a new language, as some think. A pure language, instead, it means the renewal of once defiled speech. One's lips represent what he says, the word spoken by his lips, which in turn reflect his inner life. The nations formerly perverted by the blasphemy of serving idols will be cleansed by God for true worship. As a result, the nations turning to reverential trust in God will call on the name of the Lord and will evidence their dependence on Him by their united service, shoulder to shoulder. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand it a little bit more. Help us to apply the truth of your word to our lives and to proclaim your holy gospel by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Please let me see this in your heart.